Good evening and welcome to Transpositive. My name is Emma and I use she and her pronouns.
I'm Nicolette and I use A and M pronouns.
Hi, I'm Guinevere and I use she and her pronouns.
And I'm Teresa.
And I'm Jean Bryan. I use she and her.
Great, and welcome to our show tonight. This is part two of our series that we're doing on trans identities and the intersection between trans identities and perspectives of faith. So we're really excited about what we're going to be talking about tonight. We've got some really great guests here. So we're going to just jump right into our conversation here in just a minute.
We've got intro music.
No, we're good. We're good, Jean. Jean, we're good. Yeah. Okay. And we have one other guest here. Divina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name's Divina Bookbinder. She, her pronouns.
Great. Thank you. And so tonight we're going to be doing the second part of our series on trans identities and the intersection with faith and spirituality. And we also have one guest over the phone. Sheila, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Sheila Menger. And I've written a book on the transgender phenomenon, so I'm looking forward to our conversation tonight.
Great. And we are all really looking forward to this. And also, just a reminder, this is Pledge Drive. So if you are listening tonight and you support the trans community, if you support the queer community, and you would like to make a donation to help support this valuable resource, give us a call at 877-500-5266 and show your love to KBOO. So let's start, first of all, by just introducing our guests. We have three very special guests here, and we promised we were going to give some priority to Divina, because Divina has to be someplace. So Divina, why don't you introduce yourself first and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, thanks. So my name's Divina Bookbinder. I'm a rabbinic intern studying to be a rabbi at Shir Tikva, an independent congregation here in Portland. I've been on this particular road of my faith journey for about 13 years or so. And my kind of trans identity and my faith identity are something that, as opposed to feeling torn between them, I feel that they're very compatible and they mesh really well together. And so I like to try and teach that to people and explore that with people and help them find some sort of harmony in their own lives as well.
Great, thank you. And let's just have our other two guests introduce themselves, just with the understanding we're going to kind of give priority to Divina tonight because she is going to have to go. So Teresa, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. My name's Teresa Scott, and I'm an evangelical Christian, politically classical liberal or libertarian-leaning conservative, and kind of come out of the technology industry. I transitioned about 5 years ago, and very much as the former guest, it took me time to come to terms with my faith and transitioning and being transsexual. But in the end, it actually deepened my faith. Transition and coming, as I would say it, coming to the Lord authentically took down a wall that had separated us before. And I've had more profound spiritual experiences since my transition than I'd had before. And
that's great, Teresa. Thank you so much. Thank you. And Sheila, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my book is called Transsexualism and Its Discontents, a Political Profile. And the purpose of the book, and the reason I called it that, a political profile, was I wanted to deal with the politics of negotiating gender, the idea that when we're out in the world, in a sense, what we're doing, we are reflecting our inner reality, but at the same time, we're reflecting that reality in a world that sees everything that happens around us as transactions. So normally, if you are don't have gender conflict in your life, what you are projecting outwards gets reflected back to you from your earliest memories, and it's reflected back to you in a way that's affirming. Whereas if you're transgender, you're having to make an effort to negotiate that, and to do the changes that we make in order to find a way to get that out in the world, but hopefully get back some kind of affirmation, because to maintain it all by ourselves is too difficult. It's not possible to live a life that doesn't have some social mirroring. At least that was my thought.
Thank you, Sheila.
So I wanted to cover that.
Thank you, Sheila. And you're a practicing Catholic?
Yes, I am.
Great. Thank you. So let's just start, Davina, by having a conversation. How does, like for you, Davina, how does your transgender identity intersect with your religious identity?
So it intersects in a pretty, I guess, interesting way, in that I see them as two, to kind of simplify it, two halves of a whole. My whole self is composed of a lot of differing parts, some seemingly in tension with each other. And so Judaism has a lot of great talk about spirituality and love and social justice and caring for the others. And then there's a lot of, what I would call garbage, especially in the biblical texts, carrying through that directly says, oh, the way that you are and what you're doing and how you are is wrong. And so it was through my kind of more social justice oriented side that I started grappling with those texts. I was very fortunate to be raised in a liberal Jewish household, so that by time I started wrestling with my own gender identity and came to that, it wasn't as tearing apart as some have it. I already had the tools to say, oh, okay, these things in these texts and in this tradition that say that I am wrong in some way actually mean this, or actually put in their proper context, they seem to say this. And for me, it shouts even more that because I have the strength to be who I am, that strength needed to come from somewhere. And a lot of it came from my religious communities, my rabbinic school, that when I came out was like, cool, all right, we'll change all your stuff. She, her, great, awesome, wonderful, we'll support you. And like that made transitioning and being who I am basically possible.
Mm-hmm. Within the Jewish tradition, did you feel that you were supported? Did you feel that you were supported transitioning, or was being transgender a hindrance to the process of transitioning?
In the tradition in which I found myself, with the various kind of liberal communities I found myself in, I felt supported. But there were a lot of conversations I had, especially in the beginning, of having to defend myself against particular views and perspectives of certain texts and religious laws. And so on the one hand, I felt supported. And on the other hand, I had to defend myself within my own community, which, like, I'm used to defending myself or ignoring the shouts from others, from those who only seek to hate and vilify. But it was weird kind of having to explain myself to friends and family in my tradition who said, well, the Torah says X, Y, and Z, and how do you deal with that? And have to go, I don't, try and give him a rabbinic answer, but at the same time, I'm still struggling with this as just a trans person also. So like, it's kind of both.
Mm-hmm. And now you're about to become a rabbi, right?
Yes, once I finish my thesis.
What can you tell us? What's involved in becoming a rabbi?
It's way too many years of study. Schools are either 4 to 5 years of study. Everything Jewish law, life cycle events, liturgy, Jewish philosophy, Jewish history, counseling, therapy. Chaplaincy training, a pastoral training, all kind of wrapped up together, along with practical work of serving as a chaplain in a hospital for a period of time, and serving as an intern, usually at a synagogue, but could be some other kind of Jewish practical experience, and then writing a very large thesis.
And are you there? I don't know a lot of transgender rabbis. Do you know, are there many?
There are a handful of us. We've got a group online going. I think there's about 10 of us right now in that group. There's some big ones like Rabbi Elliot Kukla, who helped found Trans Torah, which is a website that's hasn't really been updated a lot, but brought us the amazing blessing in Hebrew for any kind of transitional moment that someone who's trans is going through. I am Facebook friends with a couple students in some schools, some rabbis that are out there in the field, most of which transitioned after. But I could basically count on my hands and maybe a couple toes.
Yeah, so you're really breaking new ground.
I suppose so. Uh-huh. Not really like I have a choice, but yeah.
So did I see that we were going to a break in a minute? Okay, great. Just give me a signal when we're ready to go. Again, we are doing Pledge Drive right now. So this is, if you're listening to Transpositive Tonight and you value community radio, this is a great time to give. If you're a supporter of the LGBTQ community and you listen to KBOO, please give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and show your support for KBOO. And I guess we're going to pass it over to Ani over in Pledge Central.
Hey, thank you so much, Emma, and thanks everyone for this amazing discussion this evening on Transpositive. I'm Ani. I am the volunteer and outreach coordinator here at KBOO, where we are letting you know that it is wonderful to participate in your community media, in your community radio station. Please call us at 877-500-5266. We are asking you to step forward right now and be an active participating member of KBOO. We need to keep queer voices on the air. The LGBTQIA+ spectrum needs to have amplification for our messages. And as we gather together, it is important that we are able to access the airwaves to actually let the rest of the world know what is going on in our communities, and let each other know what is going on in different parts of our communities and how we are actually all in this struggle together. It is such an important discussion tonight here on KBOO, and I'm going to ask you right now to make history, be a part of this station, and give us a call at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 and say yes to your community radio station. Step right up and, you know, go ahead and contribute $120. You can break that down in a $10 a month sustainable way. Of course, any gift that you are able to give is absolutely appreciated. Every single contribution counts. But I'm asking you to think about actually giving $10 a month for your community to strengthen our communities together so that we can keep building bridges, keeping each other informed, keeping these conversations on the air. These conversations are so vital. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. And I'm saying that these issues are vital because, well, as somebody who is genderqueer, as somebody who is the wife of a trans woman, I can tell you that media portrayal of our lives in anything more than a very superficial and stereotypical way, anything more than something that's sensationalistic and perhaps titillating to keep you tuned in to see the next commercial break, you know, that's the norm for our lives. But now at community radio, at KBOO, we have wonderful hosts like Emma, like Nicolette, like they come together and they provide the microphone, they provide the platform to really broaden the discourse, and so that we can hear this incredibly important discussion of trans identities tonight and see the complicated intersections of our realities. That is what is going on here at KBOO. Be a part of this discussion right now with your active support. This is such, again, a rare thing in the media at all, on the broadcast media. Please do realize how vital these discussions are, how very important and necessary they are. If you are not a part of the trans community, if you are not genderqueer, then think about what you are actually learning and experiencing through these interviews and discussions. It is, again, a vital program. Please give us a call right now with your support. 877 500 5266 is the number to call. And again, you can avail yourself of a membership of KABU very easily. Anything from $20 on up, the sky is the limit, will make you a member of Community Radio. I'm asking you to consider giving $10 a month as a sustaining member, evening your contribution out throughout the year, breaking it into little bite-sized pieces of $10 so that you can add us in to your entertainment budget, your information budget. Think about other media that you might subscribe to, and think about subscribing to KABU in much the same way. But here's a vital difference. At KABU, your subscription means that you are actually a participating member of Community Radio. You can join advisory committees. You can get involved as a volunteer at this radio station. There's so many things that you can do with KABU, because in fact, when you join, when you become a member, we are your radio station in a very literal way. You can run for the board of directors. You can be involved in the governance of this media resource. You can't really do that so much with your subscription to Netflix. I'm just saying, it's different. So 877-500-5266 is the number to call. That $120, you can put it on a credit card. You can break it into monthly bite-sized pieces and do a sustaining membership. You can have us send you a return envelope and you send in a check. However you want to do it, we just ask that you stop what you're doing right now and make this your moment to join Community Radio or renew your membership to Community Radio today. And I want to thank Ezra for doing that. Ezra, a brand new member of KABU. Thank you, Ezra, so much for your support this evening. And now let's hear from you. 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266.
And we're back. Ani, next drive, I'm going to run over there to Pledge Central and do some pitching with you. So, Sheila, I would like to ask you, how does your religious identity intersect with your transgender identity as a practicing Catholic? Can you talk about that?
Well, there's a lot of misunderstandings about the Catholic Church as being entirely rule-bound, and what we're dealing with Catholicism, of course, is a 2,000-year-old history, and so there's obviously been a lot written on various topics all through those years. And you have St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica, you have, most recently, we have the official Catechism of the Catholic Church. And so the difficulty that I had personally was that I have a very legalistic way of looking at things because I'm an attorney. So it's very natural for me to hear prohibitions and yet to also see them in context, because one of the things that lawyers actually learn how to do is to understand the limits of any phrase, any law that you put down has to be addressed to a certain context, and it has to be understood in that way. So, for instance, when we're dealing with things like, for instance, the Leviticus or Deuteronomy, and we're dealing with various prohibitions, we have to understand a little bit that was being addressed to an audience that is not necessarily a 21st century multicultural audience. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, when we're dealing with a religious tradition, it's important to not be naive about the fact that texts do not exist in a vacuum. They have to be received by the initial audience in order to be preserved, and then they have to be honored through the years and commented upon, but again, in the context of the needs of that time. So the whole transgender phenomenon is something that probably always existed, but we're seeing it now through the lenses of different psychological theories, different developmental theories. We're seeing how early transgender children are reporting transgender feelings. And so all of that means that we're approaching it in a sense what a lawyer would call de novo. We're approaching it for the first time. And I don't know that we have a total grasp of this yet as an institution. So what I really tried to focus on personally was how could I reconcile my own experience for what I'd always wanted my life to be with the limitations that were coming into play by declaring as transgender. And that's why this need for assertiveness in the political sense came very clear to me very early on, because I said, we, in order to live our lives fully, we're going to have to look at the way other women are living their lives, and we're going to have to say, what can we learn from them? Because everyday genetic females were also dealing with this same problem of saying, how do we enunciate a 21st century feminine identity in a world that sees women in very, very static terms? And so my thought was, well, if every day every woman I meet is dealing with these issues, body issues and everything else, then can it be surprising that I'm dealing with them, who's coming from a far, far more challenging, you know, embodiment, mm-hmm. Task ahead of me.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. Teresa, what about you? How does your faith tradition intersect with your transgender identity? How do you practice those things?
So I guess the biggest issue for me, kind of relating to your explanation earlier of the Jewish tradition, of course the Christian tradition is one aspect of difference is it's less legalistic and more of a grace and faith. There is accountability and so on still, but it's quite different. The biggest issue for me has not been my theology. It's been the church and the church community. And it's been particularly difficult for me because of my more broadly conservative perspective and views, particularly in the kind of left-leaning Portland area, let's say, to be kind about it. To quote Groucho Marx, I'm finding that I can't be a member of any church that'll have me, to paraphrase Groucho Marx. The churches that are very welcoming and accepting are tend to be very, very liberal, and I'm a very biblical literalist, conservative evangelical Christian, and the church that I'd been in when I began transitioning, I'd been a member of for 18 years and was a wonderful church. I still love all the people there, and I never heard a sermon from the pastor I disagreed with, but he couldn't handle my transitioning. And we had a long hour and a half talk one evening, and it was clear it scared him. And I think from his perspective, it's a slippery slope that he doesn't know where to draw a line on. And I sympathize with his concern, but I told him as we were leaving that I love him like a brother, and he's never been more wrong than about this issue. I've written quite a bit about my experience. I don't have a published book, but I have a pretty large website that's fairly well known that Jean brags about all the time and promotes for me wonderfully. Thank you. And I've written about my theological views in more depth there. But I don't see a conflict personally between scripture and my experience as a transsexual.
Thank you. Davina, how does your experience as a transgender woman influence the broader Jewish tradition? Do transgender people have an impact on the larger conversation within the Jewish community about identity, about inclusiveness, about welcomeness, about identity?
I think so, and one of the most key aspects of that is in liturgy, especially if you're using Hebrew. Hebrew is a gendered language. You have masculine words and feminine words, and you don't have non-binary words, and you don't have non-binary pronouns. You don't have neutrality in the language. So for a long time, especially the last couple hundred years since the Enlightenment, and for sure in the last 50, 60 years, there's been changes and updates to the liturgy to make it more inclusive for men and for women, that have made it so it's not just a completely male-dominated text, because God was viewed as he for so long, that even when that notion fell away, the he pronoun is the one that's used. And I think with the emergence of transgenderism, I guess, but the emergence of transgender people speaking up for themselves and saying, no, I want to be included and be a part of this, but this liturgy doesn't speak to me. You have really clever ways of getting around things and of changing things within the language and within the tradition that parallel the old ways of doing things but are modern takes on things. So there's a great way when you call someone up to the Torah on a Saturday morning service. It's called an aliyah, which just means coming up. They say a blessing and someone reads for them, and it's a wonderful little ceremony. But how do you call somebody if they are gender non-binary, if they're gender non-conforming? And a couple people floated around different ideas that changed the language that is starting to spread among different communities throughout the country, that now everybody who feels that the gender language doesn't speak to them can actually have access to the liturgy and the prayer service and feel like they belong.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, the etymology, what we're speaking to here, the etymology, the evolution of language, mm-hmm. the boundaries that are set for us in terms of how we relate to things by language is a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge right now, and even within our own community, you know, where we're constantly evolving and constantly debating, but we're making progress.
We are. You know what else is a big challenge? Reaching our goal of $117,000 for this pledge drive. That is a huge challenge, but I know that we can do it. I believe that we can reach our pledge drive goal, and we're all here because we care about this community. And the way that we're contributing to this community right now is by giving a call to Pledge Central at 877-500-5266 and making a donation to KBOO. So we're going to pass it over to Ani to remind you why we're all here tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Emma. You are giving the reasons why people really need to be supporting KBOO right now. This conversation is so important. It's so vital, and it's so very rare in the media. Why is it so rare? So, well, because we all know that trans lives, genderqueer lives, we are marginalized. We are pushed to the margins. And this is a platform that we have to come together and to say we exist. We're complex beings, we have full identities, we are real people, and here are our stories. Understand us, listen to us. This is vital. Please do. Right now, pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266. If you are able to give 1 hour's wage every month, that would do an amazing thing. First of all, definitely gets you a KBOO membership. Also, it's a way to even out the participating and the giving throughout our membership so that as we are able to, we can give a little bit more. If we're struggling, we give a little bit less, but it all equals out, and it's a wonderful way to sustain KBOO as well as your own budget, making your budget doable so that you can give a really significant gift as it adds up over the course of a year. So again, that number to call is 877-500-5266. We're looking to raise $250 before 7 o'clock tonight. Emma, what can you add?
Through the magic of radio, I have been transported over to Pledge Central.
It's wonderful.
I'm here to talk about why KBOO matters to me as a trans woman. When I first came to Portland many years ago, I listened to Out Loud. And there was great programming during the queer programming block. Every Tuesday night, I tuned in because I wanted to hear what was going on in Portland. I wanted to hear what was happening for Pride. I wanted to hear what was going on with the transgender community. I wanted to hear what was going on over at the Q Center. And you know where I tuned in to hear all that?
KBOO.
I turned into KBOO, yeah.
Yep.
And KBOO has been here for 50 years. It's been here for the queer community for a long, long time. And it's been built on the struggles and the efforts of so many people who have pushed against the norms to create space for transgender people, for genderqueer people, for gender non-binary, for intersex folks, like acknowledging we exist and we matter. And the way that we have that space here at KBOO is by our donations. We have to give. That's how we make KBOO happen. When everybody pitches in, then KBOO happens. And so right now we're on our way to our goal, but we're not quite there yet. And we need everybody to, in the last 2 or 3 days of pledge drive to really to dig deep into your pockets now. And if you've donated, maybe make another donation. Make a donation in honor of Trans Positive.
Absolutely.
$5 a month will get you the beanie. You get a great hat that's got KBOO logo on it. $120 a year, $10 a month will get you the 50th anniversary package. $25 a month will give you the KBOO hoodie, which is just a great thing. It's got the KBOO logo on it. And, it's really just, it's shtick. It's there because we want you to have something. But really what we know is that you care about KBOO. That's why you're listening right now, because you care about this radio station. It matters to you. And you show your support. If everyone who's listening would call in right now and, just give an hour's wage, then we'll be good. So absolutely. Give us a call at 877-500-5266.
I just want to say, that your resources, you are our grassroots support, right? So it is, in fact, you that have built this radio station over these 50 years. And as Emma was saying, that she was galvanized to listen to Tuesday evenings because of the queer programming on Tuesday evenings when she was first in town to really find out what was going on. I got to say, KBOO saved my life. Right. And I'm being very literal about that, because as a 12-year-old queer kid growing up without any connection to queer community, I found KBOO and I found Queersville on KBOO. It was on Sunday night. And all of a sudden,
I didn't know about those.
Oh, yes. In 1978, as I was 12 years old in St. John's, which was a whole different world in 1978, let me tell you, that it was that was my connection. And I realized, because before I heard Queersville, the only thing I knew about being queer was that Anita Bryant was leading crusades against us. That was the only thing I knew. And then all of a sudden I'm finding wonderful, positive, queer voices that are insightful and smart and funny and talking about things going on in a community that I might be able to join as soon as I'm old enough to ride the bus across town. And that gave me so much hope to actually fight back against the bullies in my school. That gave me so much hope that, I was okay and there were other people that might think like me. And KBOO was here and it helped me. It helped me into my adolescence. It helped me actually form my queer identity, and know that I was okay. So I'm asking you right now to stop what you're doing for a moment and realize that there are queer youth that really need access to this media.
Queer youth really do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's all about the youth. It's all about the youth.
And it's all about, really every queer person needs to know that we can be reflected in the media. Every queer person needs
KBOO
to know.
Youth Collective.
Absolutely. That we can tell our stories in the media. And what other media can we do this with? It's KBOO. KBOO right here, holding it down on Tuesdays. Please do be a part. Support KBOO right now. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Emma is absolutely right. The Youth Collective is a wonderful group of youth who are just creative and growing, and it's great. We have programming about many marginalized communities, all sharing this microphone, building bridges, informing each other, knowing that our struggles are interconnected, and being stronger together. Please do significantly support the station. Your membership goes so very far. Please give us a call right now. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 is that number. Right now, please be moved to your phone and just dial. With your $10 a month contribution, we would love to thank you. You could get a t-shirt, you could get the 50th anniversary thank you package, you could get any of those things, but really what you get is KBOO in your ear and knowing that you are doing your part to provide access to this media resource for so many people that rely on it just like you. 877-500-5266.
And we are back, and we're going to be opening up the discussion now to everyone in the room. We've got a full house tonight. We always do. It seems like we've always got a full house here at Transpositive because there's just so much to say. Nicolette, why don't you go first?
All right. So while I don't currently identify as a Christian exactly, I identify as a pantheist. So I do believe that there is some amount of truth to all religions, and that includes the Abrahamic religions as well. I was raised Episcopalian Christian, and my initial experience with the church was not all that welcoming. I've talked about before how I knew from a very young age that I didn't identify as male or female, and that I was attracted to both boys and girls and all genders, as it later turned out. And so I didn't understand why when I would go to sermons at church, people would talk about men and women and the joining of men and women in marriage. And, nobody ever talked about people besides men and women. People never talked about identifying as something other than your birth sex. People never even talked about homosexuality, even though I knew these things existed, but I just didn't know that there were words for them or if anyone else even knew about them or experienced them. I remember when I was really young, I tried to talk to my priest about these things, and she thankfully was not as bad as some other priests that I know. She just kind of brushed it off and told me not to think about it. And I was like, well, that doesn't give me the answer that I was looking for. At least, at my church didn't condemn trans people or homosexuality. They just, pretended like they didn't exist, and that wasn't very helpful to me either. Then when I got older, I experienced some, I started talking to people from other churches, and, I would come across some Christians that were very welcoming and accepted me the way that I was because they believed that Christ taught us to love everyone, love thy neighbor, etc. But then I would also, of course, come across Christians who would tell me, oh, God made you the way you are. You're supposed to love the body that you're in. Homosexuality is a sin, blah, blah, blah. And so that's part of why I ended up kind of growing away from the Christian church. Although, like I said, I don't completely disbelieve Christianity as a whole. I just did not feel as welcome in that community. But last year, I think it was last fall, we had this great experience where Emma and I spoke on a transgender panel at a church. What was the name of that church again?
It was with John Chuck, who's on the KBOO board, Lutheran Church.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I know. Sorry, John. It's John Chuck's church out in Beaverton.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the name of the church now. It was
nails it down.
I'm sorry. I really wish I could remember because I wanted
they
to.
They know who they are.
They know who they are. I wanted to give a shout out to this church specifically because Emma and I spoke on this panel there, and people asked great questions. They were so open-minded. They really listened to what we had to say, and everyone was just so warm and welcoming. Afterwards, so many people came up and thanked me, and I was just so glad that people really listened to what we had to say. I wasn't entirely sure if that was going to happen or not because of my mixed experiences with the Christian community. So that was...
United Methodist.
Great. Yeah. So that was just such a terrific experience. And like I said, I have come across, some other Christians that were just that warm and welcoming too. And I always appreciate meeting people like that. Oh, we want to go to the next person now.
Davina's going to have to go. So we want to give Davina some closing words before she goes. And then we'll move on to Eugene.
A thank you for just the fact that this exists, that this radio program exists, that this station exists, that this community exists is phenomenal and sometimes hard to believe when you look at the rest of the media out there. So just a huge thank you from the bottom of my usually cold dead heart that this place exists and is amazing. And that to anybody out there who you know, at least from my faith, from the Jewish faith, who is struggling with this stuff, who is either trying to figure out their identity or identifies as trans or non-binary in some way, that like there are really great, amazing communities and people out there who do love you and who do support you and who, where yeah. you can find a home. And the people that say that you can't, and the people that say that you're wrong, that you're not a thing, that you do not exist, and you cannot find a home, and you cannot have one, they are just flat out incorrect.
Yeah.
And more, I mean, I'm an openly queer trans woman who is at a rabbinic school and has an internship here at a synagogue in Portland. And when I approached them to say, hey, could I do this? It wasn't like, we have to think about it. It was like, yeah, sure. That'd be awesome.
They're like, are you kidding?
Yeah. Like, that's amazing that I can
do
that.
That's how I felt.
It's phenomenal. And it gives me a lot of hope, which is a very important thing to hold on to these days. So keep the hope up. And thank you, everybody, for having me.
Thank you. And Davina, if people want to find out more about you or if they want to get in contact with you, is there a way they can do that?
Yeah, the easiest way is to either email me. It's rabbinicintern, which is RABBINIC intern, @ shirtikvahpdx.org, which is shirtikvahpdx.org. You could probably also Google Davina Bookbinder Jewish Portland. I think I'm the only one, so that could probably work too.
Okay, great. Well, Davina, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
So let's move on. Jean, you had something to say?
I just had a couple of comments. First of all, in advocating for us having this brief series around spirituality and how that intersects with our identities and our journeys. The message that I'm just so glad for these last few comments, because the predominant narrative in our community is one of estrangement and negativity and unpleasant experiences, which I would ascribe to sociological factors much more so than anything spiritual based. And that, my goodness, if there's anything that is spiritual or soul based, my goodness, transitioning, I mean, coming in, stepping into your true identity, the identity of your soul, of your heart, we're doing it. We are doing the deal. And that it's just so sad that so many of us feel so estranged and rejected. And I wanted to hear messages of acceptance. I wanted to hear messages of celebration, of recognition, of that fact, and that there are communities, there are churches out there, there are religious practices that are welcoming, and they see us for who we really are. They see the beauty of our souls. They're out there.
Thank you. And Teresa?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Several thoughts that came and are fleetingly. To Jean's last point, my experience has been that there really are, even in the Christian community, I've found more churches that are welcoming that are not. Really, the dynamic that's just been a challenge for me has been being conservative and being trans. That cocktail, dating, oh my goodness. I'm a straight trans woman who will only date a Christian man who's politically conservative. The Venn diagram of that, there's one dot. It's me. But to your point a moment ago, I like to say on my website, there is life after transition. That there are lots of people who today who are very accepting. I just took a new job recently, and the people there are just fabulous. There are probably a few who don't know that I'm trans, but mostly they do, and everybody just treats me wonderfully. I've been at a number of churches that were very, very accepting of me, and in fact, were happy to have a trans person in the congregation. And I'm still looking for quite the right theological mix and so on for me.
Thank you. And Sheila, we're gonna just do a really quick pledge break, and then we're gonna be coming back to Sheila, and we want to hear your thoughts on all of this, Sheila, and how you reconcile those issues. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So let's pass it over to Ani over in Pledge Central.
Thank you so much, Emma. And thank you, KBOO listeners, right now for giving your attention to this conversation. It is an important conversation, and right now we're asking you to be a part of it by being one of our grassroots supporters. Give us a ring at 877-500-5266 and let us know that you are there, you're listening, and that you are excited to be a part of People's Media, because in fact you are the reason we do this. You are how we do this as well. We are listener supported grassroots community radio. We are People's Media, and you are the people. So please, together we do great things. We make exciting public affairs programs. We amplify messages from marginalized communities. We also provide amazing music from around the world that it can also pull us together and inspire us. This is the full service of KBOO, your community radio station. Please help us attain our next 50 years with your support. 877-500-5266. And once again, Emma has, through the magics of the radios, joined me right here in Pledge Palace.
And we also here at KBOO, we celebrate. Today's May Day. Today
yes.
is a day of revolution. It's a day for the workers. It's a day to honor the goddess. It's a day for whatever May Day means to you in your tradition. For me, May Day is a day of celebration, and I'm so happy to be here on May Day here at KBOO, because KBOO is a great source of joy. It's a great source of celebration. It's a flowering, it's a blossoming of like amazing communities that are empowered and are strong and are vocal and are here on the radio. They're in your ear, they're on your desk, they're in your car. You can listen to us anywhere, anytime. And the way that we do that is through your support. With your donation to KBOO, that is how we are able to do this amazing programming. And what we're asking right now is if you can maybe give 1 hour of your wages every month. So if you make $15 an hour, you know, that would be $180 a year, which is really reasonable when you break it up. 1 hour, and is show your support for
right.
the workers, show your support for the working class on this May Day by giving to KBOO. It's a great way to show your support. 877-500-5266 or donate online at kboo.fm.
Absolutely, Emma. Thank you so much for that. It's true. It is a wonderful day. I know that as a pagan, I'm here at this radio station doing a wonderful thing, serving the community, and that's great. But I did get away for just a couple of hours and wiggled my toes in the soil and also remembered my place in the universe and my spiritual path. And that was awesome. And I love the fact that you are talking about spirituality tonight on Transpositive, because again, this is a part of our community, it's a part of our lives, and it's seldom talked about in the mainstream media, right? Trans people are not talked about in the mainstream media unless trans people are being, somehow or another, the sensationalized, and we hear all manner of transphobic stuff. I have to say the word stuff at this moment, in the mainstream media, as we hear about hateful legislation popping up here and there. Well, here we provide the alternative to all of that, right? We have very important part of the solution, as we are able to bring voices together and again, have them amplified with the people's media, and you actually run the people's media. You contribute. You are our grassroots support. You have made this happen. You have actually bought the microphones that are being used right now by Transpositive. It is your active participation that has gotten us this far. So I'm asking you to renew your membership to KBOO, or maybe you're new to the area and you're just finding out about who we are and what we do. Jump on in, be a part of this community. It is a wonderful way to get involved in your new home, right? And if you are new to the area, as thousands of you are, please make this your moment to say, yes, you want to do something radical. You want to become a part of Radical Portland. You want to support trans positive and queer programming every Tuesday night here on KABU. And you want to support KABU overall because you understand that we do amazing things with your grassroots support. Together we are stronger. Stop what you're doing right now for just a moment and connect in by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And say yes to this conversation. Say yes to trans positive. Say yes to supporting your entire community. This one act of making a phone call, making a pledge, it makes such a difference. Contribute to your community radio station right now. 877-500-5266.
And we are back. First of all, we want to make a correction while we're still on the air. John Shook, who is a board member here at KABU, is the pastor of Southminster Presbyterian Church. So thank you so much, John, for supporting the trans community and letting us know the correct denomination. So thank you.
Isn't it nice to have a wider community to call it?
Yes, exactly. Sheila, can you tell us some of your thoughts, the conversation we were recently having about positive things about being transgender and your spiritual practice?
It's so hard because there's so many things I would like to say and the short time that I have to say it. But this one of the things that I wanted to emphasize is that if people are looking for a spiritual tradition, they could always take a cafeteria approach and pick and choose. Most of us that are having struggles with is because we were raised in a certain faith tradition, and then we encountered all through our lives that the faith tradition was saying one thing and our experiences were saying something that at least included an alternate text of our lives. And so the thing that I would point out here is that rather than abandon your tradition, try to stay with it if you possibly can. Because I've never left the Catholic Church. My own parish is very accepting of me. If there is a problem, it's largely within me because I perhaps know a little too much about the faith to be able to just say, well, let's just be approximate. I understand someone that comes from a conservative view how hard it is to embrace being transgender. One of the things that helps, though, is to parse out what are the greater evils. The greatest evil of all is to have people feeling rejected and unloved. Because if you're rejected and unloved, I don't know any faith position that makes that their primary goal. And if we believe that God is the active force in our universe that Revelations claims that God is, then we have to assume that God is taking an active role in all of our lives through providence and through grace. And so if we assume that God has to rely on us to make all the decisions of who gets included and who gets excluded, that's really kind of undercutting God. It's sort of making a decision about what God is going to take and what God is not going to take. And that's not our function. Our function is to try to be as kind to each other as we can, try to address as many moral issues as we can, as accurately as we can, but know that we're going to fall short. We're not going to get there all the way. And when we do fall short, it's not only people that are dealing with gender issues that are dealing with problems. There's whole problems of material equity, of sharing, of whether or not various forms of governments can take care of people and can provide sufficient jobs. There's so many big issues out there that when we become the poster children for general gender identity anxiety that everyday people feel, it's unfair to us. What we're doing is it's like isolating us and making us scapegoats. And that's never permissible. That's never right.
That's so well put, Sheila. That's why you are my fairy trans mom. Sheila really is. We met on the beach one day and I just claimed her right away as my fairy trans mom. Out of Lincoln City. Sheila, can you, since we're going to be running out of time pretty soon, can you tell people how, like, your book and where they can find it if they're interested in, like, getting it?
the way to get my book is to access it through my publisher, which is named after the county that I'm from. So it's Kitsap, K-I-T-S-A-P, publishing.com, kitsappublishing.com. And the name of the book is Transsexualism and Its Discontents, A Political Profile. But if you get Transsexualism to that publisher, there's only one book that we've published on this topic. So I wanted to share one other thing. As we've been speaking, I'm out there at the ocean and I'm looking at a whale going by. And one of the things that's amazing about these whales is that they choose to be here. They don't. There's no fence cage that's holding them here. Nobody's trying to chum the waters to draw them in. They are, to me, the ultimate symbol of freedom and dignity. These wonderful creatures that don't harm anybody, that just sail around in God's great ocean. And maybe that's an image that we can have for ourselves, that we are certainly as important as the whales. Mm-hmm. And we are out there in this world, and like it or not, here we are. So the thought is to basically to try to deal with us and to appreciate our unique gifts for what we can give to the world, including the fact of our struggle, because even our struggle is valuable because it articulates part of the human dimension of living. So that's maybe how we can be proud of ourselves, even when we doubt ourselves.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. So any other closing thoughts? I'm looking at someone who hasn't spoken this whole show.
I gave up my mind for a higher purpose.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
I do. I'm going with the Dalai Lama. Kindness is my religion. And there's so much in that, it keeps me busy all the time. But I do have one ending quip, which is, we are not the problem. We are the solution.
Great. That's wonderful. So we've got a couple of minutes left.
Emma, I'd like to put in a plug because she's too modest to do it for herself, for Teresa's website.
Teresa, please tell us about your website before we go, because we've just got like 30 seconds left.
Yeah, it's just teresas179.weebly.com, and she has done a wonderful job of articulating a conservative Christian-based inclusionary statement there. It's beautiful. She's done a great job.
Teresa, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any closing thoughts?
You know, just a couple quick things. The website has sort of my understanding of being transsexual, the transition process, my history up until transition, and then my theological journey of discovery.
Great. Well, thank you so much, everyone who's joined us tonight. Thanks to Davina, who had to leave early. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Teresa. It's been a really interesting conversation on Transpositive. Stay tuned. Next month is our Pride episode. And get ready for Trans Pride next month, and also for Gay Pride. Always the weekend after Father's Day. So come on down and join us down on the streets of Portland. And we'll see you all next month for Transpositive.
Blessed Beltane, by the way.
Yes, Blessed Beltane.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a director of underwriting to solicit and oversee the underwriting and online advertising for KBOO. For this part-time position, we are looking for someone with sales experience in community radio, who has a flexible schedule, skills with computers and people, and the ability to work independently in a fast-paced work environment. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Deadline to apply is Sunday, May 6th, 2018, at midnight. More information can be found at kboo.fm/underwriting-hire-2018.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Going Beyond the Flint Water and Housing Crises on Friday, May 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at AIA in Portland. Going Beyond the Flint Water and Housing Crises will present a panel discussing how decades of planning decisions led predictably to the Detroit and Flint water crises and its relationship to gentrification, displacement, and a regional housing crisis. This session aims to frankly examine the disproportionate effects that historic and current city planning has on disinvested communities. This session also aims to inform and inspire our own community to collectively